people, this is Bonnie Gillespie, and this is your SMFA Top 20. Your bullseye. All right, I say this over and over again. You can hit everything on the dartboard because, of course, you're an actor and you have range, and that's the point. But there's this thing that you do better than anybody else, and getting down with that and getting very clear on your bullseye will make everybody else understand how to cast you, and it'll get you working on their money faster. And come on, that's fun. Number two, having a business plan. I'm not talking about, like, you know, here's projections and return on investment and things like that. I'm talking about having a daily plan for how you're going to run your business. What is it that helps you keep things focused and grounded when you're otherwise in a creative pursuit? Things like regular exercises you can do not only to build your craft, but also to build your business. Populating your show Bible. Spending time studying the success of those who've gone before you, reading the trades, keeping up with who's moving where, what showrunner you know you want to work with is developing next, so that you can start piecing together what the path may look like. Spending time every day invested in your career as a creative in this beautiful industry. Number three, getting down with self-taping. Yep. Whether it's your webcam, the cool little camera on your phone, or a complete setup like you got your own mini studio, getting down with self-taping is only going to benefit you. You'll be able to work out any tics that you have. You'll know what looks best on camera in terms of clothing, makeup, hairstyle, facial hair, guys. You will know what glare comes across if you're wearing your glasses. All sorts of things that you can control within the environment of your own space, so that even if you're only auditioning live and in person, you can make choices that you know look great on camera. It's a wonderful tool, and self-taping is only becoming more and more common as a means of getting seen in the room. So it's sort of a first screening process. And the more you're down with that, the better off you'll be. Next up, number four, having a web presence, whether it's your personal website, having all your profiles updated at Actors Access and the like, being down with social networking. It's not for everybody, and you're not required to do social networking just because you have a creative career. But it's something that you want to investigate and have within your control, because what you don't want is to be in a situation where someone else squats on your brand. If your name is not taken when the next new thing rolls out, go grab it, even if you don't plan on using that piece of social networking, because it helps with your brand recognition, your Googleability, and being findable on the web is incredibly important. Having your IMDb page up to date, and having your actorname.com, even if all it does is redirect to your IMDb page or your Actors Access profile, is all good stuff. Next up, number five, survival job. And I like to think that there are ways you can thrive through your survival job. There are jobs you can choose that are better suited for your personality, but you gotta have a way to finance your creative dream. And for most of us, that means hustling and doing a bunch of different little jobs, or working temp, substitute teaching, bartending, waiting tables, tutoring, whatever it might be. Having a flexible job that allows you to go out on auditions and take your classes and work on set when you book. Most importantly, it's got to be something that doesn't suck your soul, because if your day job, if your survival job, if your Joe job is sucking your will to live, that is going to make it really hard for you to have something to draw from as a creative performer. So make sure you're very particular when you are choosing the type of work that will best support your creative career. And if you're not enjoying it, stop doing it. Go do something else. There are lots of options in this life. Thank goodness. Number six, launch at 85%. Oh my goodness, this one is so, so, so important to me. And it was a tough lesson for me. I am a perfectionist, like many folks, and I find it incredibly tough to start a new venture, to launch a new project, to move forward on anything if everything's not in order. And what that does is ends up creating sort of a paralysis where there's no action at all, because I will never be 100% satisfied that I am at 100%. So new policy at Team Cricket Feet became launch at 85%. And thank you, Keith Johnson, for making this so. Beginning your process And getting out there in front of folks before you're ready is a really great way to make sure you get stuff ready. It also is the only way for a lot of us that will ever get started. So especially if you're one of those who's got this awesome creative career and you've got an idea for something that you want to add to that, whether it's self-producing, you know, creating content for yourself, or even just shooting something for your reel, but you're like, ah, it's not quite perfect, do it anyway. Do it anyway, get that first one out of the way, you'll do it again, and you'll do it again, and each time it will be better, but launch at 85%. Do not let, oh, I'm not ready yet, be your excuse for not getting started. Next up, number 7, this is from the great Peter Guber. There are no rules, but you break them at your peril. Of course, in this industry, there are some rules, but there are really no rules because you can break everything that is considered one of the rules if you know what those rules are. Sort of like grammar. You can make up words. You can change the way the language exists if you know what you're doing. If it's because you're sloppy and you don't know that apostrophes don't make plurals, oh dear God, you are just making huge mistakes. If, however, you understand and have really done your homework on what it is that makes this industry tick, then you make some choices that are a little bit of a zig where everybody else zags. That's actually groundbreaking and it's respected. So it's about studying the animal that you are trying to tame, studying the beast so that then you can get inside and then rework it from within. It's really ninja stuff. Next up, number 8, rock your headshots. This is the part about understanding your bullseye, being very clear about what your brand is before you shoot. If you've got headshots that are flattering but aren't your best marketing tool, you haven't taken advantage of the number one piece of marketing material that people see about you. When you are an actor, your headshot is your business card. It is your logo. It is the thing that folks use as their placemark for what it is they know about you and know about your brand. So it's very important that your headshot really rock. And the way to make that happen is by being very clear about your brand, making sure you have conversations with your headshot photographer about your goals for your headshot so that you're not working in service of his or her brand, but of your own. And this doesn't mean shooting things in costume or anything like that. It just means making sure it's very clear that this is what's going to walk in the room when I get invited in for an audition. You'll be able to rock your headshots by having clarity with your photographer and making sure that this person has the ability to shoot your type in really flattering ways, but not so flattering that it talks us out of understanding what's going to walk through the room. We're not looking for glamour shots here. We're looking for a really accurate marketing tool. Being your own publicist is number 9. This is a biggie for SMFA because so often you are going to be required to do your own publicity, to get your own information out there in front of the buyers in a way that a lot of times folks who can afford high-powered publicists can get done through, you know, media training and getting taught how to handle things that may not be something you can afford yet. So the SMFA way is train yourself by watching junkets. Sit down on YouTube and just plunk in junket and watch as many interviews over and over and over. You can see the same questions being asked by different reporters. You can see the same reporters asking the same questions to different actors on the same junket and just watch how different actors handle these experiences. Watch how they manage press, how they navigate press. Watch live shows and get to see people doing brand props. See if they do a really good job of staying on brand while they improvise. You can train yourself without spending any money just by watching what other folks are doing. And you're like, oh, I don't want to spend 10 hours watching Watch What Happens Live on Bravo. I'm going to tell you, that 10 hours is putting yourself through grad school on the yes and. And it is really important as public folks to not just be able to do that in character on stage, but also as brand managers when we're out as ourselves speaking and working the red carpet and dealing with buyers or the media or our fans. And of course, that's something we're all hopefully headed toward, unless we're all about the craft and not interested. We want to be a recluse and we don't want to work the red carpet. All right, Johnny Depp, that's fine. But just keep in mind, Johnny Depp worked that red carpet like crazy until he reached the level where he didn't have to anymore. Number 10 is all about rocking the meeting. You're going to have meetings, whether it's with a potential agent or manager that wants to rep you, or a general with a casting director. You're going to have an opportunity to sit and answer, so tell me about yourself, and to talk about your career and where you're headed in a way that hopefully makes the buyers see, yeah, this is a good investment. This is somebody that I want to work with for the long haul. What happens a lot of times in meetings is we get nervous and we're so worried about doing it right. And people are human and they understand that there's going to be a moment where you may misspeak and you go, oh, sorry, here's what I actually meant. It's all about how you handle yourself with grace. Are you able to recover when you flub, if you mispronounce a word, if you forget someone's name? You are always forgiven if you are able to say, wow, let me own that and let me fix that. If instead you spiral into, oh God, oh God, oh God, I screwed up, what they see is, oh, this is someone who doesn't recover easily. Don't be so hard on yourself. Practice. Research everybody you're going to be meeting with so that you are aware of who they are, what their personality type is, and what types of things they may end up wanting to talk about. And practice, again, fire up your webcam, practice your meeting skills. Prompt yourself with questions that are tough and see how you do. The practice you can do with your webcam on so many issues of SMFA will be very beneficial for you. Next up, your bio. Boy, actors do not like writing bios from what I can tell. And I think it's awesome if you will run your bio through a filter of, does this help folks understand brand me? You'll be in better shape. So much of the time, we feel like we have to tell the whole story. You know, from the age of this, she wanted to be on stage. His first role when he was the tender age of blah, blah, blah. Yeah, some of that stuff is just so cliche, you know, and always dreamed of being an actor, blah, blah. The bio is meant to not only make us feel like we understand you, but want to get in business with you. So it needs to answer a few of the questions of, you know, are you bankable? Are there people who've hired you? So yes, a list of things that you've done for sure, but definitely the big ticket items. It also needs to feel like I'm hanging out with you. When I read your bio, I need to get a sense of you, even if it's written in third person. I need to feel like, oh yeah, I get you. Because if instead it's clinical and safe, unless that's your brand, I don't really feel like I've gotten a sense of you. And your bio really should feel welcoming if you are welcoming. It should feel a little odd if you're offbeat and quirky. It should have your personality strung through it, even if it's written from the third person. Ah, that brings me to your cover letter. That's another one that's tough. A lot of folks forget that the cover letter is just to try and get you the meeting. The cover letter does not need to close the deal. You need to leave them wanting more. Cover letter needs to be short. It needs to include a few salient points about what it is that makes you worth meeting. If this is a cover letter to an agent, it needs to include some dollar signs so they see that you are a booking machine and that they want to get in business there. It needs to also show that you've done some research on them and you know what it is that they value. Because by showing that you understand what they value and where you fit in the roster because of that, you've let them know that you see this is just not about you trying to get an agent, but instead this is a business and that everybody is working to get to the next tier. Where are we? Number 13, pilot season. It's weird. Pilot season still exists, even though pilots are shot year-round. The reason pilot season still exists, and that's basically from after Sundance, so mid-January through to the end of March, April 1st, somewhere in that territory. The reason pilot season still exists in that traditional time span is because of the upfronts. The upfronts take place in New York every May, and that is when most of the networks are doing their pitches to ad agencies and ad reps, trying to get the buyers on that end to commit to ad placements on network television for the upcoming season. So if they can get upfront sales of ad dollars, then based on those shows, they know that that show is going to be given a little bit longer to succeed in its time slot because they've already pre-sold ad space. which is where they make their money. So it's important, as long as upfronts exist, to understand that pilot season in its traditional time slot will exist. Do you rush to LA for pilot season? No, it's not necessarily a good idea. It's the kind of thing where everybody moves up on a linear scale. There's not a lot that's linear in this business. But pilot season does seem to track like that. The people who are testing at network for series regular roles and pilots this season will be the ones who probably booked a co-star on a pilot or a guest star on a pilot the season before. The folks who are coming in on those guest stars this season are the ones who booked a co-star or were on a list or tested on those co-stars or guest stars the season before. And then the folks who are getting their first ever a chance at a pilot in a small co-star role, probably the season before, were working on ongoing episodics and building a name for themselves in network television. So there is a little bit of a linear shift that you can watch happening from tier to tier during pilot season. So does that mean you need to pick up from wherever you are and rush to LA and be here for pilot season? Only if you would like to see crazy in action do I recommend that, because it's incredibly hectic and it's an awesome time. The energy is contagious. It's also a little crazy making, but there is a lot of work to be done before rushing out to LA for pilot season. Next up, number 14 on your SMFA top 20, it's content creation. Y'all know I'm all about creating your own content. There is no excuse. If you say, I don't have demo reel footage, fix it. Fix it. You can have demo reel footage in a weekend. Get together with your friends, write an on-brand scene, work it out, rehearse it, shoot it again, shoot it some more, edit it together. Boom, you have footage. Content creation is so empowering, and it's something that not nearly enough actors take advantage of, although daily it's shifting. People are getting more and more into the, oh, I need to be a hyphenate. I need to be rocking a bunch of different venues in order to come up on folks' radar sooner. I need to not just be an actor. I also need to be a writer. Maybe I also need to be a producer, or I need to be the director. Maybe I'm a sound mixer, but I need to have other things going on, because this industry is coming at from all different directions, and isn't that a beautiful thing? Number 15 on the SMFA top 20, your pitch, your log line. How do you describe yourself in like a tweet length conversation? I find this incredibly empowering, not because you're often challenged, hey, what's your log line, or hey, give me your pitch, but because if you know as you go through life what's kind of rolling in the background, whether that's your soundtrack, the song that always plays when you walk down the street, that purpose, that why, that thing that you carry with you as your reason for the types of stories that you prefer to tell as a content creator or as an actor in other people's stories, you know there are certain stories that you more want to tell than others. All of that comes into your pitch. All of that comes into your log line. And if someone says, so tell me about yourself, your succinct answer to that, your very quick and purposeful answer to what it is that drives you, and not I'm passionate, I want it, I'm determined, I'm professional. I'm talking about what it is that really sets your soul on fire and makes you excited every day. And if you could be on set doing this type of role, what would it be? What are the stories that you want to tell? Those types of answers are going to help people get you faster. It's the reason that there's a tagline for every product and every service out there. And the where's the beef was a tagline for Wendy's decades ago. And the fact that that's still remembered, or just do it for Nike. You know, there are certain things, there are phrases, think different for Apple. There are the reason those work is because it gives us something to connect with. And now we understand the product better, and we don't have to use 100 words when 10 will do. So really work on that for yourself, and utilize others. Get folks surveyed. Ask them, you know, when you think of me, what one word, what line, what phrase comes to mind? You'll end up with some really rich stuff. Of course, you can also interview your bookings and go back and look at the types of roles that you consistently book, and you start seeing the patterns, and it's the patterns that show you what your brand is all about. Number 16, targeting representatives, agents, managers, the folks who rep you and get you in for the auditions at the highest levels. All right, targeting these folks, you guys know how much I love getting in there with IMDb Pro and deconstructing their current client list. Finding by starting with the shows you know you want to be on and looking at the actors who are booking the co-star roles there, and then going through and discovering who reps them, and again, building a list so that you can track patterns, you will start to find, wow, a disproportionate number of actors are repped by these two agencies who consistently book on these shows that are the shows I want to do, or consistently booking work on these films with these directors whose stories I can't wait to tell, or by these writers whose stories I can't wait to tell. You'll start to see the patterns that will show you the relationships that exist within the industry between the reps and the buyers, their buyers, the casting directors. So when you're able to track those, then submitting yourself not to every agent because you need an agent, but instead to the very specific agents with whom you see synergy, you're able to say to them, I can help make you money in these areas where you consistently have folks coming to shop, and I know you do because I did my research. Of course, you don't say all this explicitly. This is the kind of thing that just feels like a light bulb over the head of the agent when he or she opens your package and says, oh my God, casting director so-and-so would love this actor. And of course, you know that because you reverse engineered the whole thing. Truly ninja. Rep targeting and show targeting, which is number 17 on the SMFA top 20, are huge for me. Show targeting, of course, is the same process going through and studying on IMDb Pro and Casting About, and to a lesser extent, the Futon Critic Dev Watch, just because that has a lot of farther reaching and speculative programming, as well as reality shows and talk shows and things. So it's a little more to wade through. But with those two and then Third Sight, using those two, three sites to go through and track who it is that consistently casts for the shows that you know you would like to be a part of, the films you'd like to be a part of, checking the history of the showrunners, the producers, the directors. Folks are incredibly loyal. Folks love to work with the same teams over and over again because they have shorthand. And when you see, every time J.J. Abrams has a project, whether it's a film or a TV series, April Webster is somehow involved, you then start to track what's going on with April Webster. You put up a Google alert on her, and not just her, but on everybody who is listed as a member of her team using Casting About to track what's current. You're able to then start populating your show Bible, and y'all know how I love a show Bible. You are able to populate your show Bible with juicy information about these folks who are your first tier buyer. Now, I'm not saying don't have dreams and ambitions that are way, way, way higher reaching, but that first level of buyer is the one to spend the most energy on first, because then you get the momentum. Get that first buyer excited for you. Get that first one-line co-star on a network project, and then build to the next tier. And if you've already surpassed that, yay you. What is the next tier? Yes, have 5-year goals, 10-year goals, lifetime goals. I love all of that. But what is the next tier? And you can do research to find out exactly how to get there. Number 18, it's all about your clips. So this goes back to absolutely content creation, but of the projects that you've already worked on, where you received footage, it's no longer about having a linear demo reel start to finish where we watched 2, 3, 4 clips seamed together. Certainly you can still have that and present that, and agents and managers still tend to like that. But more and more in casting, we're looking for, does this person solve the problem I'm having right this second? And that means if I'm casting a wacky comedy and your demo reel is filled with gritty indies, and maybe the last clip is the wacky comedy, am I going to stick around for 2 minutes to get to that clip and find out whether you can help me solve this problem I'm having today? Not likely. Far more likely, if you label at your Actors Access account or at IMDb, your personal website, wherever you house your footage, if you label, this clip is me in a wacky sitcom and I'm playing this type of role, this is me in a gritty indie and I'm playing, you know, Woman in Jeopardy, I'm able to pick exactly what it is that answers the question, do you help me on this project I'm casting today? And then watch just that one clip that helps answer that question. It is a much more refined way of getting your material in front of the buyers in a meaningful way. So definitely get your clips a la carted out and definitely label them with as much specificity as possible. Let's move on to number 19. It's all about resume feng shui. Woo, you know I love the inverted pyramid. Y'all, it's all about presenting your information on your resume in the order of the most badass so that you always cut from the bottom. The inverted pyramid is something they taught us in journalism school, and I love it and use it all the time. Present the most badass information up top and let it taper down to the stuff that's less important. So that way you always know where to cut when you are cleaning up your resume, and hopefully you're always adding credits up top because everything you're doing is more badass than the thing before it. It does not have to be in chronological order. A chronological ordered resume is for the corporate world. We ain't in the corporate world, y'all. I don't know if anybody's told you. And so because we are creatives, we get to have a little more fun with the presentation of our resume. Yes, this goes back to there are no rules, but you break them at your peril. Number 7, we know that there are certain rules and certain standards. So respecting what those rules are, then presenting your resume in order of the most badass credits to draw the attention of the buyer to the cool stuff that you've got going on, and not bury some amazing credit among a bunch of, you know, no budget, low budget copy credit meals projects. Oh my gosh, you want to make sure that you don't bury the lead. Again, for a journalism term, you want to keep the story hot, and that means the best thing is what leads. It goes right up top. And whatever that best thing is, could be this won an award at Sundance. It could be this one got distribution. It could be this one I was the starring role. It's not affectionate things like, but this is where I got my union eligibility, or this one is where I had a great scene with this awesome co-star that I'm crazy about. No, it's things that the buyer values as badass. And you should constantly revisit your resume to make sure that it fits within that. And have different resumes for different buyers. Because if you're going out for a lot of awesome regional theater, you don't need the same kind of resume as someone who's trying to land their first network co-star. That's a completely different presentation of data. So don't be afraid to have different tools for different reasons. Finally, number 20. In your SMFA top 20, it's all about consistency. Are you adding value to the buyer's lives, and are you doing so with consistency? There are folks who will try a little bit of this and then say, well, that didn't work, and then they'll stop, and then they'll go try a little bit of that, and then that didn't work, and they stop. And I say, babe, here's what you need to do. You need to pick a lane and drive in it, and drive in it for a good long time to let it work. You can't constantly change between the freeway and the side streets and jump back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and expect to make any forward progress in a good amount of time. You have to be consistent in what you're putting out there and consistent in the methods you are applying so that you give them time to work. This is a long haul business. You're adding value to everything that you do. You're not just an actor. You are an actor and you're funny. You're an actor and you're quirky. You're an actor and you write amazing stories. You're an actor and you're a wizard at social networking. Whatever that and is, that is the type of thing that makes a huge difference for so many people because you're adding value. You're not just coming in and interpreting a script. You're also bringing something really fun to the set, or you're the person who always does these amazing thank you notes or whatever it is. It's not gimmicky. It's something that comes from a place of authenticity. You're the one who can connect folks, that if somebody suddenly loses a grip, you are able to say, oh, I know 3 amazing grips and here they are, and make connections with people. Whatever it is that you bring to the table other than just your acting, that's the value you're adding, and you're doing it consistently. You're sticking with it for the long haul, knowing that you're building relationships with others in this industry for a lifetime. You're not retiring tomorrow. We're not retiring tomorrow. We are all in this big picture, long haul, all those phrases that mean the same thing. And because you know that you've got decades stretched out ahead of you to succeed in this industry, give it a little time. Because if you're jumping around from one thing to the next and hopping, hoping maybe this will work, maybe that'll work, you're going to get exhausted and you're going to confuse the buyers. And a confused mind says no. So be consistent, continue to add value, know your brand, be able to speak about who you are in an authentic and fun way. Make sure that all your tools line up beautifully to help support an understanding of what it is that you bring to everything you do. That through line, that self-management for actors ninjosity is going to pay off. And all I ask is that when you're holding up something golden shiny, you give me a little shout out. It would mean the world to me. Guys, thank you so much for checking out the SMFA Top 20. It is a sublime pleasure to spend time with you. You are true ninja badasses, and I salute you. Mwah.